The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. Bruce Feldman joining us shortly. We'll talk to him about a number of things. We've had a lot of conversation today about what appears to be the new commissioner of the Big 12, what its ramifications and impact could be. Back to the phone calls here at 855-242-7285. And let's check in with Chris, who is in Virginia. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Paul. Nice to speak to you again.
Thank you.
I just got a couple things. Congratulations on being able to write another book.
Thank you.
I literally haven't read a book since middle school, so I might actually be able to read another book that I actually like.
Good.
Secondly, I've
keep
been
you in mind as
gym,
I choose big words.
What did you say, sir?
So you literally haven't read a book since middle school?
No, I have ADHD, and it's very hard for me to concentrate.
Okay.
So
what about?
Do you listen
to audiobooks?
Yeah, I listen. I work night shift at a food distribution warehouse,
okay.
And I listen to about like 5 different podcasts a night. So that's one way I do it.
Okay, well that's good.
I can't sit there and like.
No, I completely understand. I know a lot of people that. It can be difficult, and I'm not saying that lightly. I understand what you're talking about. Thank you for sharing that.
Secondly, I've been listening to Jim for at least 3 years since I've been watching and listening to your show. The man sounds like a gentleman who has never taken bipolar medicine. I mean, he gets on here, probably has the cell phone, house phone, wherever he calls from, right up to his mouth. There's static everywhere. This man sounds like he's just out here just hubla, 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 hubla. I can never understand what the man's talking about. I don't know how you do it, Paul.
Well, Chris, I don't. It's not that big of a challenge. I mean, he's a passionate guy, and that's what's always appealed to me about his calls. He cares about what he's talking about. Now, there's plenty that people don't like, but it's a challenge. How about that?
You should win an award every year for this.
Well, Chris, I'm really glad to hear from you, and I appreciate you sharing with what you had to say, and I hope a lot of people can maybe learn from that. Let's check out James, who is up next in Montgomery. Hello, James.
Hey, Paul. Appreciate you letting me on.
Thank you.
I'm here in Montgomery. I've been living in Alabama my whole life. I'm a few years younger than you, but
isn't
I go way back, even before your Birmingham radio days. I go back to the post-Errol days.
Oh, my.
So I tell you, that sort of ages me a little bit. A lot of these, you know, you had a caller, well, we don't know who these callers are. I go way back to Tammy and Shane, but people don't realize back in your post-Errol days, you know, your articles came out on Tuesday or Thursday? I believe it's Tuesday, right?
Right.
And I think they sold more newspapers on that day than any other day of the week. But anyway, wanted to move to talk about the Ring of Honor. This is a novel, Ring of Honor. I'm assuming you're going to be adding names down the road or whatever.
Yes.
And let's don't get into this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame type deal where they run out of names and they start putting in, you know, Nancy Sinatra and the fireworks guy for kids, you know. But,
his boots are made for walking.
My suggestion is this. The first class, Shane, Tammy, period. And just put them, because tragically, they're not around anymore to defend themselves or add anything more than what they've added in the past. But that would be my suggestion. And then let everybody else fight down the road for participation down the road.
But James, that's
anyway,
really a very
good
suggestion, and I appreciate your kind words about my former career. We've had some thoughts, just like what you said. We don't know yet, but I do think there's a pretty good chance those who are no longer with us will be honored first. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check out Ray in Arkansas. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
My question is, could you tell me what you think about Arkansas's chances of winning this year?
Well, I think they're heading toward a really good season. Every time I look at the schedule, though, I break out in a sweat trying to figure out how they're going to negotiate it, starting with the Cincinnati game. Does anyone have a tougher opening game? Yeah, I mean, you might argue that Florida does or maybe Georgia, but that is a brutal opening game because Cincinnati may not be as good as last year, but they're still plenty good. They haven't lost a regular season game in two seasons. It gets only tougher after that, but I think Arkansas can win nine games. I think beyond that, probably not. J.K. is up next. Good afternoon, J.K.
Paul, how you doing, my good buddy?
Hey there.
Hey, Paul, let me give a message to Jim from Tuscaloosa. Jim, they don't pay us to call in. We call in because we like calling in. Those of us who like football, sports, period, we talk about sports. We don't call in every day to get Paul's opinion of us, hyping ourselves up and making ourselves look stupid as you do daily when you call. Now, we know as soon as Bryce Hospital opens back up, you're going to be first on the list, along with the Bama fans when Nick leaves. So, Jim, if you can't talk sports, don't call a sports talk show. Again, we don't call to get praise or we don't get paid to do this. We do it because we like it. Paul, you have a good day, my friend.
What a call. Thank you, J.K. One of the few times J.K. and I have never really clashed during a phone call. Cheerleader is up next.
Hey, Paul, I read about that tweet about the book.
Well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm just doing great, and it's going to be – I just wonder what you're going to uncover and if you're going to get sued for it. I don't know.
Well, yeah. But, that, I was talking to a guy in California today about that, and he said, you're just going to talk about how great those three coaches are, aren't you? I said, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah. You're not gonna put any private stuff in there. We don't need to know.
Well,
but
no.
Listen.
Nobody wants to hear that.
No, we don't want to hear that. I want to put myself up in front of your casting crowd or casting, whoever does the cast, for when it turned into a movie or, I guess, for the book, too. But I have two parts that I would be good for.
Okay, what are those?
Would be good for lots of sales. Well, first of all, I could be your stylist. That means your wardrobe and cheerleader also can do your hair. I can give a haircut.
I didn't know you were a hairstylist.
Well, I'm not by trade, but I just kind of picked up on it. I watched everything the stylist did to me, and I'd pick up on it, and so I've cut a lot of people's hair that looks real good, and I can certainly handle yours. And I have my own cape and my own scissors, and I can even, if you need me to try out for the part, I could come to wherever you are and out and see.
Well, cheerleader, thank you. I don't think I'll be thank you for the call. We're up against a break. I don't think I'll be casting the movie, though. There are people that are better qualified. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic, can't wait to talk to him next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back in the big story earlier today. Brett Yormark. You know the name? If you're Beyonce and Jay-Z, you do. But if you're a fan of the Big 12, you're probably going, is that guy going to be our next commissioner? What's going on here? Bruce Feldman from The Athletic talking about that and many other subjects. Bruce, good afternoon. And, I mean, there's always these surprising stories. We had it with Kliakoff, and there have been some others. But what do you make out of what appears to be the new Big 12 commissioner? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Yeah, it's a you know, it's a name that's worked in sports. I mean, before he was the COO at Roc Nation, he was spent a long time with the Brooklyn Nets in the NBA, and he was also at NASCAR. So he definitely knows his way around the sports world. And everything I had heard, you know, from a reporting last night at The Athletic about him becoming the front runner for this job, and it's really about how he wowed the people in leadership around the Big 12 for this search process. In the interview process, they saw him as a guy who is, as it was described to me, as a Rolodex like no other. This guy is really connected to a lot of heavy hitters all over the sports world and beyond. They loved his energy. They also loved that he had a lot of ideas. And I think what you have to look at here is a big part of what we've known for college athletics has been people who've worked in it kind of move on to the bigger jobs, whether it's Greg Sankey or even Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner. Having they have college, you know, big experience, worked at maybe smaller conferences or in different jobs, and they know the landscape and they move on to these big jobs. But what we've seen really in the last decade, I mean, the Pac-12, George Kliavkov was a name almost none of us in college sports knew before he got the Pac-12 job. Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, he'd been in the NFL, but he wasn't really in college sports like that. And I think people look at this landscape, Paul, that is very different than what it was in terms of the deals and the path that I think conferences are needing to take going forward. And they looked at it and said, you know, we need to do something different, because I don't think you can get much more college establishment than what the Big 12 had in Bob Bowlsby, who'd been there for a long time, but also, you know, been an AD, who'd been in that for a long time. And I think they clearly were really intrigued by going in a much different direction.
Talking to Bruce Feldman, Bruce, so many other things to discuss, and I want to get to the latest kerfuffle in the state of Florida in a minute. But what do you make out of the decision today by the ACC? Some of it expected to go, I think it's to this new model that many conferences are now looking at. I don't know how you've come up with something fair and equitable, but what's your reaction to what we've seen?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it was expected. It's this 3-5-5 structure. And, you know, what's to me, when I looked at it with the ACC as it announced, and it's starting in the 2023 season, so there's no divisions, which honestly, the SEC is much easier to manage than Coastal and Atlantic were. I don't think anybody, you know, unless you had a team that was in it, were that sure of who was in what. And I think what stands out to me when you look at who the three partners of each school is going to be, it's hard to really go, oh, this program really took the brunt of it, and this program's getting off light, just because, with the exception of really Clemson, I mean, you know, Wake Forest is really good now, and Florida State's not very good now, where, you know, 10 years ago that wasn't the case. And so I think people just, it's harder to make heads or tails, whereas in the SEC, the teams that have usually been the heavyweights usually stay the heavyweights, and same thing with the Big Ten. But in the ACC, you know, like I said, with the exception of what Clemson's done over the last decade, it's been so much of like parity or mediocrity, however you want to look at it. I don't think it's something that people are going to get too outraged about by the way they see it, beyond, hey, a lot of people like the idea of getting rid of divisions, because when it comes to the conference title game, you know, that game can feel kind of like a dud if you have a really good team against a team that's like 8-4 in there and not, you know, a fringe top 25 team.
Bruce Feldman with us. Bruce, as we inch closer to the one-year anniversary of NIL, a story developed over the last couple of days in Florida over a player involving Miami and the University of Florida, Billy Napier and Mario Cristobal, two coaches you know well and have reported on and written about. Can you Can you take us through this story and what it all means? Because it's confusing to those of us from a distance.
It is, and I don't think I can take it. You know, it's going to take a long time to sort out, as complicated as it is. I mean, the player in question is a top 50 recruit named Jaden Rashada, who's a quarterback from Northern California. And it wasn't just it eventually, you know, broke down into a Miami, Florida recruiting battle. But this was a guy who LSU was hot after, Texas A&M at one point was, Oregon was, Ole Miss was. And what I think stands out here under the backdrop of, as you said, we're about a year into NIL, and what has happened is some agents have definitely emerged who've seen a lot of opportunity. And it's not just NIL for the players already in college, but we've seen examples and heard of a lot of examples of recruits, you know, seeing agents and seeing opportunities and some of these deals that collectives from colleges are putting together. So Jaden Rashada has an agent who is based in a different part of California who also had been involved in a different deal for another quarterback who is, you know, a lot of people think is even more highly regarded, who got millions of dollars allegedly, or is in line to get millions of dollars for his deal. And so where this bidding war created, I think it's hard to separate a lot of facts from hearsay at this point, to be totally honest. And we at The Athletic have done a lot of reporting in this and will continue to. But it came down to Miami and Florida, and Jaden Rashada on Sunday announced his commitment. There's been a reported dollar figure of how much he is in line to get. We haven't been able to confirm that that's actually accurate. If even more than if the reported figure from On3Sports is even more than what the other quarterback who's even higher rated got, another Crispino client. So this is the landscape we have right now, and it's really fascinating because, like I said, there's a lot of people who were involved who were not really in the front of this a year ago, but they've emerged in the void. And it's, you know, you got a lot of middlemen and a lot of agents and a lot of wannabe agents who have gotten involved. And I think it's a really crazy landscape right now.
Yeah, I know it's early. The story's only a couple of days old. There are a lot of quick obituaries being written, falsely and prematurely, of course, and ridiculously, about Billy Napier's program. But what do you think it does say, based on what you know? You've been out there deeper on this than most of us, about where Florida is right now.
I think Florida is a decent spot with Billy Napier. I mean, I honestly, Paul, just my opinion, I like the hire when they made it. I think he did a terrific job in the Sun Belt. He obviously, as your listeners know, knows the SEC and what it takes there to win from his time as an assistant. I think he's got a good staff. He will recruit hard. I think for people who are looking at it going, you know, it's still the summer. And I, you know, a lot of times I think people get too caught up in early recruiting rankings, and then the season happens and kids decommit. And I think you're going to see a lot of shuffling around. And the truth is a lot of stuff is going to happen where I think it's going to happen with transfer players. You know, like, I don't know if how many of these quarterbacks, it's supposed to be a great quarterback class. I'm going to be at the Elite 11 this week out here in California where a lot of these guys are. But the truth is a lot of quarterbacks end up not just coming out of high school. They end up the transfer portal is so thriving right now that I think that could be an opportunity for a lot of places. So I wouldn't get too worried. If I was a Florida fan, I would definitely let this play out and give Billy Napier a chance because, you know, look, I wouldn't at all be surprised if Billy Napier ends up flipping a quarterback in the next week or two to change it. I just think these things – You can't live and die with the recruits, especially for a coach who hasn't even coached a game for you yet. You got to give him a chance.
And Bruce, it seems like a year ago. It was under a week that Arch Manning committed to Texas. Just in knowing all the characters and trying to put it together, what is your takeaway?
I mean, it's certainly a good hire. It's a good hire. It's a good get for Sark and Texas. Again, I would pump the brakes a little bit. I think he's obviously well regarded and he comes from a great football family. I would hope the pressure isn't insanely high. Like, I remember it's probably 20 years ago, maybe more than that now. When Chris Sims was coming out, he obviously, his dad was a star quarterback. He didn't have quite as famous a family as the Mannings, but he was a big, talented quarterback, and the expectations were sky high when he went to Texas. And it wasn't like, you know, he ended up playing briefly, you know, in the NFL for a little bit. But I just think sometimes we in the media, and probably fans as well, we get so over our skis when it's a quarterback, and then all of a sudden, especially they have a famous name. Let's see how it plays out. You know, a year ago at this time, literally a year ago, I was covering Elite 11, and the recruiting sites were saying Quinn Ewers, who's now at Texas, the quarterback there, he was like the highest rated recruiting quarterback that I guess 247 had ever evaluated. And now so we're talking about the next guy, you know, that maybe Quinn Ewers will have the job for a year or two, maybe, and then Arch Manning will be ready, you know. So we'll see. I mean, I think Sark's good with quarterbacks. He's definitely good with offense. And I think it's going to be, you know, college football will be better if Texas gets cranked up again. And I definitely think, you know, you give credit for the kid for carving his own path, because obviously we know he has roots at a lot of other places.
Great stuff from Bruce Feldman, who's nice enough to join us today. Bruce Feldman joining us from The Athletic. He also works for Fox during the season. We're heading to a break right now. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, welcome back. Let's check in with Joe in Houston. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
I need you to solve a friendly debate with one of my golfing buddies. He's a Tennessee fan, and he knows that I pull for the Texas schools, Texas Longhorns, and he keeps running his mouth about the real UT. And I keep trying to tell him, look at the facts. Do your research. Look at all the categories. And in every category, all-time wins, winning percentage, conference championships, bowl record, and head-to-head, Texas is much more successful. But there's one category, this is why I called you. Everybody debates national championships. But if you use the poll era, B-O-L-L, poll era, Texas has 4. 63, 69, 70, and 2005. But when I try to find Tennessee's, I can only find 2 in 51 and 98. Well, he keeps saying they got 6. So
some would argue that you've come to the wrong source. You've come to a non-neutral observer, I'll be objective here because I feel like I can. I don't know where your friend is coming up with 6 national championships. Tennessee has won 2 national championships. 51
right.
And 98.
That's what I keep trying to tell him.
They may take credit for 56, but it's not legitimate because they lost a bowl game, and somebody else, I can't remember who it was because I really wasn't interested at the time. But those are the only 2 national championships that I remember while a student at the University of Tennessee. So I am as much as it pains me to go against my my native Tennessee, I am going to, at least from a factual standpoint.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it's not, some of the categories, a couple are close, but I mean, and, you know, and I think with Texas and OU coming into the conference, maybe the regular SEC fans might do their research. I mean, you know, both have a great history, football. And I got another question.
Now, by the way, Tennessee, I just checked. Tennessee claims a bunch of them, but that doesn't mean anything. Alabama claims about 50 national championships.
Alabama. Yeah.
And I remember I was in Alabama at the time. They had a guy that was their publicity guy, and he arbitrarily decided, you know what, we've won 12 or 15 or whatever national championships. And I wrote a piece, I wrote an article about just talking about the buffoonery of it. But schools are now just trying. But I mean, any real Tennessee fan knows the answer.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to throw those facts out there. So, you know, they do have a good history. That right now, though, I will say, if Tennessee and Texas played tomorrow, I believe Tennessee would probably stump a mud hole in them.
I do agree with you on that, Joe. All I want is for Texas to be in the SEC, because I'm tired of waiting, and I'm sure you are too.
Well, depending on how they're going to do the head-to-head with Texas's natural rivals, you know, Arkansas was always the most important way back in the day because it usually decided the old Southwest Conference championships. The Aggies, I mean, it was, you know, the in-state military school, which people would pull for them just out of sympathy because they were so bad. But anyways, hey, I got another question about old callers, if you got time.
Of course.
Whatever happened to Rich from Atlanta and Fred from Plano? Oh, I always thought they were
okay. Fred
really
called,
wondered about Rich.
Yeah, Fred called a couple of months ago. I'm trying to remember where I saw Rich. I mean, I saw Rich in Atlanta. I think maybe when I was there for the SEC championship. He's alive and well. For whatever reason, he doesn't call anymore.
Yeah, I was just wondering. Way back in the day, seemed like he was one of your more regular guys, and he kind of vanished. But
well,
anyway.
In fairness to Rich, he did a lot of really good things. I know that he spent a lot of time trying to help Tammy's family when she passed away, because we talked about it.
Right, I remember that.
Sometimes things just happen, and I know he had some issues with some of the people that worked here. That are no longer here, but I will say Rich made a tremendous contribution when he was a caller. I will give him that.
Hey, I don't know if you remember. You remember back in the day when that he was an absolute nutcase, Tom from Cleveland, Ohio, the Ohio State fan. You remember that?
I sure do.
He was a piece of work.
He was insane. You're right.
Yeah.
Insane.
Anyways, that was on my mind, and I appreciate you taking
the
call.
Thank you very much. Joe in Houston, we appreciate it. Putting me really in an awkward spot there. My degree has been recalled. Billy is in Mississippi. How are you, Billy?
I'm fine, Paul. How are you doing today?
Well, you're doing great. Thank you.
Great. I've got brief comments to make, Paul. One being, I want to pass on my congratulations, being an Ole Miss fan, to the baseball program, the coaches, the coaching staff, and the fan base. Second, I'm curious to know why Coach Bianco's son played baseball at LSU as opposed to playing for his dad at Ole Miss.
Yeah, you know what? I remember interviewing both of them about that, and I'm searching for the answer to your question. I think some of it just had to do, you've got to remember, they're from there originally, and Mike coached under Skip Bertman. I'm sure you know all that. I think the son told me he just wanted to chart his own course. I remember interviewing him, I think it was last year we talked to him when they snuck into the NCAA tournament in Menaries last year. He had a big game, and I've talked to him. I don't know. I just, that's what I remember from it. And you know, it's not unusual. Sometimes guys just want to go. I mean, he said that. Everyone. I mean, they were all close. Obviously, wasn't there a series when they were all I can't remember. I don't remember the specifics of the interview. But he just said he wanted to go to LSU because he'd grown up down there, and just I don't know if he'd grown up there because he may have grown up in Mississippi, but he just said he just felt like that was a good place to go. But I'll search my memory bank for the specific answer to that. Yeah, I think now that I remember it and have been reminded, there was also a challenge of maybe Bianca wanted his kids just to go somewhere else. They all did go different schools. So, you know, it's those things happen. Nothing to read into it. We will take a break. Those things happen, too. And we will come back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back here, late during the third hour. Let's continue with Bill, who is in Birmingham. Hello, Bill.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. Legendary callers. I was glad to see Chris made it. I always get a smile on my face when he calls.
He can light up any room.
He's a lot of fun. One caller that probably nobody, you got to be older than dirt like I am, but... you remember B.O.B.?
Yeah. B.O.B., let me explain the story. What did that stand for? It stood for Bring On Bama. And yes. This guy, for a singular moment in time, was the most incredible caller we've ever had. He didn't last. I remember running into him somewhere, and he told me he had to quit calling because his boss found out who he was, and he was an Alabama guy. But it was during that time that Auburn was winning against Alabama, and I mean he was an explosive caller, and it was all about Alabama Auburn. It wasn't about all this other nonsense.
And the worst one, who definitely is not on the list. Do you remember the guy? Maybe Crestwood. He was a UAB guy. He was just so.
Oh yeah, Jim from Crestwood.
Just so accusatory of you.
Yeah, Jim
just,
from Crestwood. He did make the list, by the way. I saw him. He died. His family sent me a note a couple of years ago. I saw him about 8 or 9 years ago. I was doing a book signing in Birmingham, and he came up, and I all of a sudden I go, oh my goodness. I mean, I looked around and see if security was near. and he just laughed, and it pained me not to be able to spend some time with him because we talked for a couple of minutes. But he accused me. What's funny is he accused me. He called me the West Georgia water boy because he thought I was always carrying water for Auburn of all things.
He used to get on my nerves. Well, thank you for your time. Enjoy
thank
it,
you very
as
much.
Always.
Yeah, one day. I mean, I know we talk. One day we'll try to. We can dig up some audio one day. We'll try to explain who these people were because they are so far back in the archive. Bob is up next. Hey, Bob.
Haven't called you in 15 years. I bet you missed me, huh?
Bob, I have. Where have you been?
Well, I tell you, man, I've just been living the life. Sure have. I wanted to talk about some of your old callers.
Sure.
Because I'm old school myself. Shane from Centerpoint was just absolutely fantastic, and he would eat I-Man to lunch like a starving sailmate. And I can't believe this new picture that I-Man's got. It looks like the Christ depiction on the Trout of Turin to me, or somewhere between that and early Ozzy Osbourne.
I always thought it was the 80s version of Charles Manson too.
and too, not that that picture that he previously used that Jordan Hare was all that great. Unfortunately, the camera with his comb over took about a 20-mile-an-hour gust, and bad picture, man, really was. But nothing personal against you, man. We just support different schools, you know, type thing there. But if it weren't, of course, he and his hate of Bama and Jim, his hate of Jim, we really wouldn't have any material there at all, you know, type thing, which probably wouldn't really be all that much of a bad thing, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. You've got some weird callers calling in. This CA from New Jersey, man, what's his deal anyway?
You know, he called years ago and disappeared, and now he's called. It's hard to imagine how much sustainability he'll have with the WWE trick, but I really don't know. But so where what have you been doing for the last 15 years?
Well, I played a lot of golf. I shot my age, or beat my age several times.
I like to hear that.
I'm 74, and met the challenge. And of course, unfortunately, lately I hadn't played much. Of course, not many people play with 74-year-old people anyway. In the grand scheme of things, you know, type thing. There, just love your show. You know, even though I haven't called in 15 years, I listen to you all the time, and probably what we like most about your show are your unusual personalities and characters that call in every day and keep up the good work, bud. Okay?
Bob, thank you very much. Great to have you back. 15 years ago, that was a long time. Wow. What's that, 2007? Your Saban showed up. He's missed a lot by not calling. Let's check in with Nick in Arkansas. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
We are doing well, thank you.
Good. Hey, I was just, I wasn't calling to comment on any of the callers or anything. I just wanted to know what you thought about, with Mike Leach signing his extension, what is his ceiling at Mississippi State?
Yeah, I understand the extension. I think some would look at the record and go, what has he done to deserve an extension? But nowadays in college football, if you don't extend your coach, it's going to kill you in recruiting. So I think what they're doing at State is giving him an opportunity to get the program back. I don't know if the ceiling is really a whole lot more than where they are right now. If you study Mississippi State, they've got a really good quarterback. They've got some good compliments. Leach is a fantastic offensive coach. But who do they beat in their own division is my question. And I don't have a very good answer. I think it's an extremely difficult challenge. Hey, thank you for the call. You take care of yourself. And let's check in with David next in Lexington. Hello, David.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you.
I've been a long-time member of the Big Blue Nation, and I have a question for you.
Sure.
And I'll give you some background. So I used to sit in the stadium and just cry because we lose the games and root for football or root for basketball to come. Lately, though, you sit in the arena, and we go down tubes, and we root for football to come back. So, what would you say the chances of in Kentucky football being the major team?
Listen, David, I think, like many, the football program has done really well, but Big Blue Nation starts with basketball. It's the only place in the SEC where it does, but that has not changed.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.